Thank you for joining us. You are listening to the podcast that highlights the weekly sermons from Cumberland County Community Church in Millville, New Jersey. Each week, you will hear biblically based messages from our senior pastor, Sal Roggio, or other community church pastors. For more information on our church, please visit cccmillville.org or check out the links in the podcast notes. We begin each message with our scripture reading, so here we go.
Today we're reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of your hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hope in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good. And do not fear anything that is frightening.
Well, in these next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about husbands and wives. We're beginning with wives today. That's because Peter put it first. And we'll talk about how a wife should be. Now, some of you are not married, but many will get married. And there's some good clues here on how to have a great marriage and make the right choices. We'll give you some pointers as we go along on some things that I think will be helpful to you. I do have a little experience in this. I've been married 52 years. We're still in love. How's that? That should work, right? So, it's been a great... Actually, it's been much more. We dated for 4 years, so it's been a great 56 years. And I know that you didn't think I was that old, but it just happened that way. There's a lot of ideas about how a wife is to be submissive to her husband, and some go to extremes. Peter starts this chapter by telling wives to be subject to their own husbands. In other passages, the word is translated submit. Now, the idea of their own husband is you only have, when you're married, one husband, and your center core of affection should be to him. And so you're to be submissive to the one husband. We'll explain that as we go along. But all these words are related. And in this chapter, it gives us three directives for how a wife should respond to the Word of God, the commands in the Word of God, and to her husband. And so, 1 Peter 1:15, here's how it begins. As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. The secrets of a happy, joyful marriage is submission to God and holiness unto God. It all boils down to the conduct expected of those who call God their Father. So we're going to look at these three directives this morning, see if we get some clues on how to have a wonderful marriage and how to be the kind of wife and the kind of husband God wants you to be. So he says first, submit to your husbands. 1 Peter 3:1, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. You will notice in the NIV, the word subject is translated submit. Wives, in the same way, submit to your own husbands. In the same way as what? Well, it's in the same way that we submit to Christ. We voluntarily live our lives according to the principles that honor God. And when you're married, you voluntarily live your life in a way that honors your partner. In this case, the wife honors the husband. He says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. We're to be a people who are humble, who are kind, and who are gracious. And that carries right over into the marriage situation, whether it's to the emperor as supreme or to your husband, and we'll see next week to your wife. The biblical concept of submission. What is the biblical concept of submission? The word means to arrange yourself under, which is implied a choice on the part of one submitting. When you get married, you have a willful choice on how you respond to your partner. God says we should respond in a way of submission, in a way of humility, in a way of yieldedness, not argumentative and destructive way, but a way where we want to yield to one another. Submission is to yield or to give way to another person. To obey has the idea of taking orders, but not in the way that we think of taking orders, like a sergeant giving orders. The idea is that you respect the relationship, and when your partner says something, in this case the husband to the wife, you take what he says seriously and you listen to it. And if you can yield to it without offending God, you do. You'll find that there are no believers who are not told to submit somewhere to somebody. And we're all to have this kind of gentle spirit. And he's writing to a culture that's very difficult. He's telling, submit to the emperor. Well, nobody really cared for the emperor. Submit to authority. But he's simply saying our attitude should not be an argumentative, struggling attitude all the time, but rather one of quiet submission. It's a matter of choice of how you respond to people. There is an old saying like this: if two men ride on a horse, one must ride behind. And so if there's no submission in a marriage, then what you have is constant argumentation. And constant argumentation, of course, will destroy a marriage. Now, both the husband, and we'll see next week, the husband, all about his role in submission, because he has a role there too, and the wife have that role. And when you both have that attitude, you don't find yourself arguing, fighting, or getting upset over little things. You find yourself yielding and wanting to work together in a way that honors God. Now, it's not up to the husband to make the wife his subject. It's her willing choice to say, I will follow him. I will be under his leadership as a husband. And it's very, very important that you do that. Now, part of the reason God suggests that is that you be an influence in his conversion, possibly, if he's not a believer. And that's a good thing. In the book that was written by Cloud and Townsend, it's called Boundaries, they have said they've never seen a submission problem that did not have a controlling husband at its root. I've been married 52 years, and I've never had to say to my wife, hon, do you know the Bible says you should submit to me? Never. Why? Because we've never had that struggle. Why? Because we submit to one another out of love and out of relationship. And so when you have that, when a husband starts pounding away, and the wife needs to know that he's out of line with the scripture. When a wife sets clear boundaries, the lack of Christ-likeness in a controlling husband becomes evident, because the wife is no longer enabling his immature behavior. They go on to say that often after the wife sets boundaries, the husband begins to grow up. Notice it's implied later that the husband is to have an attitude of submission as well. And so this is what makes marriage work. It's very simple. I'm submitted, you're submitted, we're submitted to God, we're going to come together, we're on the same page. And it is different in responsibility, but not in attitude. Now, 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, and this is the husband's line, we'll look at this next week at great detail. So if you think this is a little hard, wait till we get to the husbands. We'll tell them just how they ought to live in a way that honors God and pleases God. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives, notice this, in an understanding way. Have you ever heard a guy say, I just can't understand women? Why not? After 52 years, you ought to have a good understanding of your wife. In fact, I would suggest after the first year, if you haven't figured it out, you're in trouble. So it says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Notice how we do this. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Now, what does that weaker vessel mean? Well, I would suggest that most men can beat their wife in arm wrestling. Oh, you think she can win? Most can. And most men can do things that women can't. Like when we exchange something at the store, my wife will often say, you do it. Why does she do that? Because she knows that I'll go up there, I won't have any problem, nobody will give me a difficulty, and it'll get exchanged. She might go up there and say, I'm sorry, ma'am, but you can't da-da-da-da, and she'll send me. Because that's the way it is in life. Men have a role, women have a role. And honor is a weaker vessel. Since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Here's another truth. Men who do not honor their wives and treat them with dignity and respect, we'll see this next week, hinder their own prayers before God. And they wonder, why is life so difficult? Why is this happening? And God might just be saying, because of the way you treat your wife. And that's a very important thing to understand. Now we see Paul speaks of the same thing when he tells the whole body of believers that they are to be submissive. Notice what he says in Ephesians 5:21. Submitting to one another in the reverence of Christ. Every Christian has a role of submitting to one another in one way or another. The wife has her role, the husband has his role. And if we neglect those roles, we will be in trouble. And so submitting has not got the idea that some people, I've heard some preachers preach on submitting, and it's like, you submit to your husband and do whatever he tells you. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a general reliance and respect for your husband and yielding to him out of that gentleness and respect. A man named Stephen Beck relates the following story. Driving down a country road, he said, I came to a very narrow bridge, and as I approached the bridge, there was a sign that said, yield. And so he went there and he looked. Nobody was coming the other way, and then he crossed the bridge safely. He said, later when I was going back over that same bridge, when I approached it again, there was a sign over here that said, yield. Oh, he said, I thought there was a yield sign on the other side. He gets across the bridge, looks carefully, and sure enough, there's a yield sign on the other side. And so he gets across safely. And so what he discovered is this. He discovered that when that yield sign was put up, it was put up to keep a collision from happening, a yield over here and a yield over here. And when in marriage, we have that general idea of submitting first to God, and then in the right way in our roles, one to the other, that keeps collision from happening. But when one of us becomes stubborn or hard-hearted, then we find that collision occurs. And so he concludes that when the Bible commands Christians to be subject to one another, it's simply a reasonable and gracious way to let the other one have the right of way so that collisions don't occur. And that shouldn't be a hard thing. It's never really been a hard thing that I can think of, unless someone is stubborn-hearted and cold-hearted. And there is, of course, the aspect of the godly effect of a wife that she can have on a husband. Let's say you're married to a husband, and we hope none of this is here, but it could be, a husband who doesn't know the Lord, who isn't living for the Lord. How do you win him to the Lord? Do you preach at him? Do you yell at him? Do you push him? No, listen to what it says. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, that's 1 Peter 3:1, so that, even if some do not obey the word, they may be won, notice this, without a word, by the conduct of their wives. In other words, when you are responding the way God wants you to respond, gentleness, kindness, love, compassion, you have an effect on your partner that's very strong. A Roman politician said, I think the first virtue is to restrain the tongue. He approaches nearest to the gods who knows how to be silent, even though he is right. Have you ever felt like you're right, but maybe I need to be careful in what I say or how I say it? That's a very important thing. Submission does not mean agreeing with everything your husband says or thinks, but it says she's obedient to God. And in obedience to God, there's a gentle, quiet spirit instead of an antagonizing spirit, or you always, you never. And those things are the things, of course, that divide. He may not obey the word, but he may be a non-Christian, but submission and agreement and is part of what leads him to Christ. Not in everything. You're allowed to have a different opinion. You don't have to be a yes person, but you have to have a gentle and a quiet spirit. Submission does not mean you do not try to win your husband to Christ. The whole point of the text is to show a wife how her godly life can have such an effect on her husband. So if you are in a marriage where your partner is not a Christian, how do you have an effect? You have an effect by being a godly woman, by living the way God wants you to live, honoring him. And when you do that, you'd be surprised. It's really a gracious act. 1 Peter 3:1, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that, even if some do not obey the word, they may be won. How? Notice this next line. Without a word. Without a word? Yeah, because they're observing your conduct and your responses and your behavior, and that's a very powerful, powerful thing. Context is important to understand. Some might say, take your husband the way he is and don't try to bring change into his life. No. If your husband doesn't know the Lord, you bring change into his life by being the woman God called you to be and bearing under sometimes, but bearing under with grace and trust in the living God. And when you do that, you will be surprised. And it's okay to pray for his salvation. It's okay to ask God to bring him to the Lord. And God will use your behavior, your responses, your trust in him to touch your trust in God, meaning to trust your trust in God to touch the heart of your husband. Thus, godly submission is often what God uses to bring change. Submission never means putting the will of a husband before the will of Christ. And that's important. The text clearly teaches the wife is first submitted to Christ. Submission does not mean that the husband is the only source of spiritual encouragement. A wife gets it from the Word of God, from fellowship with other Christians, from prayer, all sorts of encouragement. Notice 1 Peter 3:5, for this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves. You notice it's an adornment. It's an, you know, there's an attitude situation of gentleness and kindness and love and sweetness, and that touches the heart of the husband. Godly women used to do that by submitting to their own husbands. Godly women put their hope in God. Husbands are affected by this when they see, notice 1 Peter 3:2, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. And that's a very powerful thing. Have we not heard the statement, what you do speaks so loudly that I cannot hear what you say? You can yell at a husband and push him. You rarely bring any change about that way. But you got married and you can love him deeply from the heart and be gracious and kind and respond with the grace of God. And you'll be surprised how powerful that is. So then what is submission? It's a willingness to follow or yield to the role God has given your husband. In doing that, you demonstrate your trust in God. Let me give you an illustration of how this works. And I saw this in real life. One of the families that used to attend our church probably 25 years ago, the wife is now home with the Lord. But the husband had a sort of dead-end job. It wasn't really going anywhere. And he realized he wanted to do something about it. And he told his wife he was going to quit his job. Now, that often puts panic in a wife's heart. I'm going to quit my job. And he said, I'm going to take a salesman job. And I'm going to become a successful salesman for this company. Now, when a wife hears that, she might hear something like this. What? What's he going to do? He's going to quit his job and he's going to take a sales. He's never sold a thing in his life. But nonetheless, she said, okay, let's see what happens. Let's go do it. So he quit his job and he took a sales job. How many sales did he make the first week? Zero. How many sales did he make the second week? Maybe one or two. How many sales the third week? Maybe two. And he comes home really discouraged. He felt like he left his family down. He quit his job. He wanted to get a better job. He wanted to make a better living, and he feels like he's just not cutting it. And one day he goes into the office and he gets a call. Oh, I'm hoping it's a sale. I'm hoping it's a sale. And he picks up the phone and here's what he hears. This is your wife, and I am calling to pump you up. Do you know today he's a very successful salesperson? Why? Because she went with him. She ran with him. She encouraged him. She knew his motives were good, and she knew he was going through the struggle, and she pumped him up. And I tell you what, today he's a great salesman. Why? Because his wife saw what was happening and invested in his life. So it says that the wife should submit to the husband. Now next week we're going to look at the role of the husband. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body is himself the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, also wives should submit to everything to their husbands. But next week, we're going to see the role of the husband, which is also a role of submission. And we're going to see that while wives are told to submit to the husbands, the husband is given clear instruction on how to make submission a joy. If a husband does what God tells him to do, his wife will never have trouble submitting to him. And we'll look at that next week, and that's one of the real keys to a successful marriage. So here's the secret, wives. You don't win a man by telling him all he's done that's wrong. And sometimes women will get together and they'll talk, and have you ever heard a woman complain about her husband? Not good. In fact, I'll tell you what will build up a man more than you could ever imagine. When a man hears his wife compliment something about him to someone else, all of a sudden he feels like this. That's what happens. And so when you want to say something about your husband to someone else, say something that's positive and encouragement to them. And you'll be surprised. A little birdie will bring it right to your husband's ears. And he'll hear that and he'll be encouraged. Someone said that wives are the opposite of fishermen. They brag about the ones that get away and complain about the ones they caught. Be very careful about that. Very careful. God is not saying a wife should be totally silent. That's not so. There's two that make up a marriage. Simply respectful. And that respect will be caught by your husband. Next, after submit to your husband, shine for God. That's the next thing he tells us to do. 1 Peter 3:3, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear. Now, Peter is not saying it's wrong to look nice. When your wife gets up for church on Sunday and she says, I got to comb my hair. You don't need to comb your hair. Really? No. You want your wife to look beautiful. You want her to comb her hair. You want her to. But what it's saying is, don't let that be who you are. You are not hair comb, jewelry. You're not, that's no. Let it be, he says, let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty. Notice this, the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. You can look really pretty and be mean. But God isn't saying you can't dress up and look okay. But what he's saying is what really matters is what's inside. Let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty. Imperishable beauty. Your wife looks beautiful all the time. Why? Because you're madly in love with her because she's a great person, see? Imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. You love to be around such people because they add something to your life. And this is what a wife should be doing, adding something to the husband's life in her responses. And you'll be surprised how men respond to that. Submit to your husbands, shine for God, last, stand firm in the faith. 1 Peter 3:5, for this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands. Now notice this next line. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. See that, honey? It says, you're supposed to call me Lord. I'm going to get a jacket. It says, the Lord's here. Now that's a little taken out of context, but you'd be surprised how many preachers preach that on that. In that way. But the word Lord didn't mean the same thing as it does to you and to me. And it says, and you let and you are children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Now, husbands, I do not suggest that you go home today and say, you know what, from now on, when you refer to me, this is how I want you to refer to me. I suggest you'll be in trouble. In the culture of the day, a wife often referred to her husband as Lord. Today we do it something like this. That's my man. Did you get that? That's my man. In other words, he's mine. And I love him. And that's what it means. And when we do that, you'll be surprised. Men rise up to those kinds of things. Sarah was not a doormat in any sense of the word. If you go to Genesis 21, when Sarah was watching Ishmael make fun of her son, and then she confronts Abraham in Genesis 21:12, God says to Abraham, "Do what your wife says." She was not a doormat. She was a woman who submitted to Abraham as wife. They had a wonderful relationship. If you read about her burial and how Abraham mourned her, but she wasn't a doormat either. And so be careful about telling your wife these kinds of terms and getting them out of context. And so when Peter says she called Abraham Lord, understand the context. And it's simply, he's my guy. Now, I heard of a bunch of women that were sitting around a table and they were praising God for all the things that he had been doing in their life. And one woman was very happy with what God was doing in her life with her husband. And she says, I want to share a verse with you. She says this, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." And she looks up and she smiles. She says, "And my husband is one of those no good things." We know what she meant, don't we? She'd been blessed with the husband she'd been given. And ladies, I want to tell you, if you honor God and you have that attitude in your marriage, it will bring you great reward. And God will use that to touch your husband's heart. Now, there are some clues that I want to give you next week, but I'm going to talk about what a husband should be, but I'm going to give ladies clues on who not to marry, the signs that you should see ahead of time so that you can avoid making tragic mistakes in that. So next week we'll see how in God's plan a marriage can be made wonderful and simple for a wife to submit to the husband. It should never ever be a problem for a wife to submit to her husband if the husband is what God wants him to be. And again, I've been married all these years and I've never had to say, "Hun, don't you know what the Bible says about submission?" Yes, she does, and she does it perfectly because she's in the right understanding, and I want to be the right kind of husband, and there's nothing but blessing there. So husbands, also for you, if you want the best of marriage, I encourage you to come and hear next week what God expects of me as a husband. Let's pray together. Lord, help us, because there's so many marriages off base, and yet in the body of Christ, we should have the best of the best, because you are God, and God does not fight against God. And so may we learn how to be submissive and how to be a blessing. And may you be honored in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon. Please like, share, and subscribe so you will be notified when the next sermon is uploaded. If you have any questions, would like a copy of the sermon notes, or would like to speak with someone directly, you can find our information on our website at cccmillville.org or in the podcast notes. Until next time, God bless.